This week, Tina is bringing the message live and in person at church, but I am doing a online message so that we can have both. This is my birthday, and Tina's blessing me with giving me the day off. Isn't that cool? So I wanted to bring you a message called The Big Stone. A big stone, yeah. I don't know if I ever told you or not, but my name is Wright Stone. That's my last name. And a long time ago when I was born, 80 years ago in fact, my name used to be Left Stone. Really? Yeah, it was Left Stone. And then I met Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone. He changed my heart and gave me a new name, and I became the Right Stone, because he is the chief cornerstone. What a joy to be able to know that I am now the Right Stone. Well, I was saying all that, kind of silly, but, you know, stones have fascinated us ever since the beginning of time. They make us look at the bulk of the earth crust, and the earth's mass comprised primarily of rocks such as granite and basalt, and consist of minerals and silicone and oxygen and aluminum and manganese and magnesium and, oh my goodness gracious, all kind of stuff. And then most of the land is a rock that's called graphite. Most oceanic rocks are thicker than that. Rocks comprise of 95% of the earth's substance. Now, the surface yields sedimentary rock, primarily shale and limestone, all that, which makes up the remaining percent of that. Well, as I told you before, I am not an expert in anything, but I'm fascinated by science and how we've been able to understand the earth and the way God created it and from the blessings that we get. So from the beginning of time, we humans have been fascinated with rocks, with the earth's yields of gemstones, you know, like diamonds and all kinds of different rocks. People collect rocks. I had a granddaughter, whenever we were traveling different places, the Middle East and so forth, that she always wanted me to bring a rock back from where we visited. And she was collecting rocks. I don't think she does it anymore. But also, rocks is something that we build with. They build buildings out of rocks. And we take the minerals out of the earth and we examine them and we explore them and we compare them and then we put them on display. Now, the rocks and stones and all that kind of stuff reflects our history, especially as the planet made out of different particles from the universe and cast and formed with fire and pressure and all that stuff. Well, I said all that to say this: from out of all this, we got what we call life. Can you imagine? Oh, no, there wasn't no Big Bang, and we just got... No, life was given to us by our Creator. But it's no wonder, then, that we witness to life's key moments, to our faith, to our history, and our stories with stone. Think about that. We erect monuments, and we remembrance, and tombstones, and ossuaries and buildings, and we express ourselves in art with sculpture and mosaic and different things like that. We build our homes with mortar and brick and stone. We raise up altars and attach meaning to gemstones and rock formation. We explore geology. So we climb volcanoes. When we went to Hawaii, there was a big volcano there that we climbed up in. It's dead now, it's not active, but you know, climb up, you can look down and see all that. It's amazing. But we trace our humanity through time, etched in layers of rock. We look at archaeological scientists who tell us where we come from and how we lived in our past, and rocks are our witness. It's no wonder then that those who lived in biblical time looked to rocks as their witness as well, to their God, to their faith, to their actions and their testimony. In the early Jewish ancestors built altars made of rock piles They placed stones upon graves for the purpose of remembrance, and they built slabs for their threshing floors and stones for their temples and synagogues. And even the Ten Commandments, think about that, was written and etched into stone. Rocks could signify God's intervention and help. So this we praise our Ebenezer, the witnesses into the entrance into the promised land. They witnessed to the death of Abel. They witnessed to our covenants with God. And they witnessed to God's art of resurrection. Yeah, the story of Lazarus' death. We note that he had been buried in a cave or a tomb, and a heavy stone, which was traditional in that time, would roll it over in front, sealing the entrance to the tomb. The sealing stone witnessed to the death of the family's loved one. And then, even then, the large cemetery stone can't be completely hiding the stench of death emanating from the cave after 4 days. Has the body been decomposing in the hot, humid Middle Eastern climate? It blocks off from the harsh reality of death. So what does Jesus say? He said, hey guys, remove that stone. You might imagine people gasping, horrified, as I said in my children's message or youth message, the stench. There's going to be a smell in coming from the inside. And Martha immediately protested, perhaps in a strange whispering voice, but the Lord had been death. He'd been there for 4 days. Lord, it's going to smell. It already smells bad. You know, a little bit seeps out. Jesus replied, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory? So probably holding their noses, several of the men went up to the cave and rolled away the stone. And then after a prayer to God, Jesus shouts out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! Now, this is pretty interesting when you think about it. Scripture is interesting because even as we study the Scripture, we look at the Scripture's exact words are these. The dead man came out. His feet was bound. His hands were bound. His face was covered with a cloth. The dead man came out. Now, it doesn't say Lazarus was resurrected. And it doesn't say he came out alive. And it doesn't say that all of a sudden he lived. It says the dead man came out. Actually, in the Greek, it said, having been dead, he came out. I think that's a little better. Then Jesus said, unbind him and allow him to go. Now, that's the Greek translation. Unbind him and allow him to go. So, in other words, the stone rolled away had witnessed to God's miracle of life. And Lazarus, dead behind the rock in that stone in a cave for 4 days, has now emerged. He's come out of that place of death and darkness. And we know he was dead. Hence, the gospel writer tells us about the stench. Yet, now, he emerges from that place of death and comes back to a place of life. The stone rolled away. He'd been released. The stone is our witness, but now we also release him. Interesting, isn't it? That we must release our grief, our understanding of death, and our conception of Lazarus as dead and gone. All that, it binds us up to a finite, determined world. And we must release all of that and let him go. Just as that rock served as a symbol for us in the finality of death, loss, grief, and pain, the stone rolled away now stands as a witness of God's grace, intervention, miraculous power over life and death, a power that we will witness again in Jesus' own resurrection. The rock's our testimony. Jesus, who is, says he is, and God's supernatural acts can remove any barriers in front of us, any preconceptions of our belief system or what we consider to be immovable or unchangeable. God can move a mountain if God wishes. the rock is our testimony. So today we celebrate memories. As I mentioned, All Saints Day is coming up, All Hallows Eve. The world kind of took All Hallows Eve and turned it into something Halloween. But All Hallows Eve is a time of remembrance. And then the following day, which is usually on November the 1st, is All Saints Days. And we come to remember in our histories, in our lives, in our families, in our stories. They loved us and they taught us and guided us and molded us. They have been the foundation of our churches and have served as living spiritual stones to God's own temple. So every one of them had been raised by Jesus, promise of resurrection. Every one of them served as living witnesses to God's eternal power. They encourage us to unbind our hearts from our thoughts and our endings and death and finality and grief and open our minds to the truth of the gospel. God is a God of resurrections. That's why we don't have funerals in our Methodist tradition. We have death, burial, and resurrection. Because funeral denotes finality. But those who believe in Christ and what God can do through Christ because of the resurrection, nothing in this world can keep God from doing the miraculous work that God intends. And when we leave this world, we are blessed then to go from life to life, life eternal. Now, sometimes, you know, you think about stones, and you just think of stones. I carry a stone in my pocket sometimes, and we moved into a new house, and I run across the stone that I had for a long time. I used to keep on my desk, and it was called the first stone. Hey, remember when Jesus talked to the people and said, those of you without sin, cast the first stone. Well, another story for another day. But stones are witnesses. So today I invite you to raise your own story and witness of God's amazing resurrection power to God's grace, love, and miraculous intervention. Hold them tightly in your fist and feel the strength of God's power within you. And may your eyes be a witness to the miracles all around you. And may you let go of your understanding that death is final and embrace the life and the hope that Jesus offers. And then as we open our hands, as we think about that, we feel the freedom that God loves you and offers you redemption. Because truly your life has been redeemed. The stone is your witness. Well, I hope and pray that you're having a good day, and I hope and pray you get to listen to Tina, too. I know she's going to bring a message, but this is a time where we celebrate All Saints Day and Halloween, but it's really All Hallows Eve's little story there. You know, it's funny how the world likes to take scripture stories and twist them and so forth and come up with their own holidays. Well, be true to the Lord thy God, because he is true to you. Hope and pray you're having a good day. God loves you, and so do we. Come and see us in person sometime at Bethel. We'd love to have you. Have a blessed day.